Well, after a summary of the news with the time now at 1 o'clock, it's read by David Cordett.
The Ministry of Defence has described claims in a leaked army memo that wounded soldiers could be included in a wave of new redundancies as untrue. It said the document had been written by a junior officer and its policy of exempting injured soldiers from redundancy had not changed. The MOD has also stated that beyond those already announced, there'll be no further army reductions. Italian MPs have begun debating a package of austerity measures which, when they're passed, should bring an end to Silvio Berlusconi's time as Prime Minister. The upper house has already approved the budget law, which was demanded by the Eurozone, in an attempt to prevent the debt crisis from escalating. Arab foreign ministers are holding an emergency meeting in Cairo to consider their response to Syria's apparent failure to end the crackdown on anti-government protests. More than 100 people are believed to have been killed in the 10 days since President Bashar al-Assad's government promised to withdraw all security forces from the streets. Several people are reported to have died in a massive explosion at a weapons depot at a military base near the Iranian capital Tehran. The blast is reported to have shattered the windows of buildings in the western suburbs of the city. The cause of the explosion is unknown. Unions have angrily dismissed a government suggestion that public sector workers could stage a token strike later this month. The Cabinet Office Minister Francis Maude said union members could walk out for 15 minutes in their dispute over pension reform and thereby avoid losing a day's pay. The TUC General Secretary Brendan Barber accused the government of engaging in media stunts. A number of houses near Sutton Coldfield in the West Midlands are under 3 feet of water after a pipe, which runs from a reservoir, burst. Around 150 properties have been affected, with people being told to stay on the upper floors of their homes. The emergency services are trying to make electrical supplies safe. And the weather, there'll be some heavy showers in western parts and it'll be cloudy further east, becoming mainly dry across the UK later on, with sunny spells spreading eastwards, and it'll remain unseasonably mild with a maximum of 15 degrees Celsius. BBC News and weather at 2 minutes past one.
David, thank you very much. Piano trios by Haydn, Schubert and Shostakovich in an hour from now. The Vienna Piano Trio in concert at Wigmore Hall in our lunchtime concert at 2. Well worth hearing. Now on Radio 3, it's time for the Early Music Show, which this week comes live from the Greenwich International Early Music Festival. Here's Catherine Bott.
A very good afternoon from the soon-to-be Royal Borough of Greenwich. We're broadcasting live from a world-class Baroque building, Christopher Wren's incomparable complex, the old Royal Naval College, now home to Trinity Laban Conservatoire of Music and Dance. And in today's programme, we're going to be celebrating all things early, particularly the 10th anniversary of the early music exhibition and the festival. The exhibition calls itself the world's largest early music fair, and there's more than 100 makers of instruments dotted around the place. We'll be hearing from some of them later. Of course, the raison d'etre of the early music show is to celebrate performance, and we've got lots of live music. We're going to be hearing something by the English Bach, played by a student orchestra from Trinity Laban, very appropriately, and we're going to have performances by 3 groundbreaking groups. Here is the first of them, L'Arpeggiata.
Se fatta mezzanotte, ma notte scura, scura. S'è fatta mezzanotte, dorme la luna. S'è fatta mezzanotte, ma era in pieno giorno. Di colpo mi si è spenta la luce intorno. S'è fatta mezzanotte ed io non so perché. S'è fatta mezzanotte ed io non so perché. Ti piacevano le salsicce, mo non le mangi più. Ti piacevano le ciliegie, mo non le mangi più. Ti piaceva fare all'amore a tutte quante l'ore. impazzire. Ah, fatta impazzire, e 15 anni mai fatta impazzire. E pizzicarella mia, pizzicarella, ma pizzicarella mia, pizzicarella, ma l'ho camminato da un belli quella, l'ho camminato da fare che balla, ah, fare che balla, l'ho camminato da fare che balla.
Yes, if you've just turned in, this is the early music show, but it's also the early music and dance show. I think it must be the feast day of St. Vitus. L'Arpeggiata, directed by Christina Pluha, with two pieces. There was first A Vita Bella, which is a song created by the singer today, Lucilla Galeazzi, and then the traditional air and song and dance. And look, were we all moving in here in Greenwich, the Pizzicarella. So, Christina, can you come to my handy microphone and let us celebrate the fact that when the early music show started 8 and a bit years ago, you were one of my very first ever professional interviews, and you were so helpful.
And it was my first interview for the BBC ever.
No, so this is a big anniversary we're celebrating. Well, L'Arpeggiata were making a tremendous wave in this country then, and you've gone on making tremendous waves, and we've just seen and heard how. What's new for the group 8 years on?
We have celebrated our 10th anniversary. Actually, it's our 11th year now. And we have a new project coming out soon on CD, which is called Los Pájaros Perdidos. It's a project with South American music, South American traditional music, and also a little bit more modern stuff, like Piazzolla and this kind of music, with Philippe Jaruski, Lucilla Galeazzi, and other great singers. So that's coming out in January for Virgin, with a concert in Paris, not so far from here, 31st of January.
And more importantly, actually for us here in Greenwich, you've got a concert here tonight,
yeah,
in
sure.
The festival. What time and where?
I don't know.
Anybody shout out the time of the concert in case... 7:45 here in Greenwich. So if you're anywhere near South London, get yourselves down here tonight, if there are any tickets left. Best to check. Now, just one more quick question about the dance element, and let's have a quick name check for your dancer, not that the listeners at home could see her.
Yeah, our dancer is wonderful. We work with her since over 10 years now. She's called Anna Dego. She's from Italy. And she's just absolutely great. And what I love with this kind of dance she's doing is that it integrates into the in the music. You know, it's not like you have a choreographer and the music should never be visible on stage. You know, it's more like the flamenco or the Indian dance situation where the,
really
there's improvisation.
Nothing exists in a vacuum. It's not just about doing serious early music. You're getting the audience involved. I mean, everybody was physically involved because of the contribution of the dancing. Yeah. I'm afraid we'll have to stop there, but you need to go and get ready for your evening
right.
concert anyway. Christina Pluha and L'Arpeggiata, thank you very much. Well, I said at the start of the show we were here to mark the 10th anniversary of the Greenwich International Early Music Festival and Exhibition. With me now at the handy mic is the festival's artistic advisor, Snazzy Blue Socks. He's got on too. This is a fine early music show custom. Chris Butler.
Hello.
Chris, what makes this site so special for hosting this wonderful event?
Well, I think the venue itself is incomparable, and the range of what we're able to put together here over three absolutely packed days is really unique. As you said earlier, 100 exhibitors from literally all over the world. The venues themselves lend themselves to terrific concerts, both visually and orally. The masterclasses, the workshops, the recorder competition tomorrow. It's a real celebration of everything that's early music.
Yes, I'm interested in you're saying the word exhibit. When I watch Frasier on television, when he goes to an art exhibition, he always calls it an exhibit, which is obviously an interesting Americanism, which I'm not on top of. You don't mean an art exhibition here. You're talking about all these wonderful instruments.
Absolutely. And what you won't see here is do not touch, do not play. I mean, the hall itself is a cacophony of sound, and we encourage people to experience instruments for the first time, reproduction instruments, but also real instruments from, you know, from the 17th and 18th centuries. I mean, really a range of instruments that you won't see anywhere else.
It's a fantastic chance to try before you buy, apart from anything else. Now, we know that over the last 40 years, I mean, there's an established public for early music. What are you doing here to go about getting a new audience?
Well, I think that, you know, we were originally a small fringe event off the beaten track. Now we're part of the mainstream. The audience for our concerts, the crowd that comes through the door, the audience here, and the performers. You see, it's not a. There's a sense sometimes that early music is a lost or a mature preserve, but it's a young people's the whole range of people, and of course the conservatoires and Trinity Laban here, they celebrate early music as an undergraduate pursuit, and so it's really there are no barriers to entry, is what I would say.
And we're going to be hearing from Trinity Laban students shortly. Thank you very much for now, Chris Butler.
Chris Butler, thank you.
Time for more music now, from a group whose very name promises a freedom of approach, and more about that after we hear them, in arrangements of two traditional Scottish numbers, Mary Scott and First, Then Wilt Thou Go and Leave Me Here. Please welcome Pantagruel. two traditional Scots airs performed by Pantagruel. And with me now, having taken a very elegant Jacobean bow for that splendid performance, is cittern player Mark Wheeler to represent the group. Now, I've got to find out, why did you name your group after a Rabelaisian giant?
Well, we liked because it was a Renaissance name. We wanted to have something that was a name from the Renaissance. And also, it's got sort of modern connotations because of this Do What They Will thing, because of I was a big Led Zeppelin fan, and Led Zeppelin 2, it was engraved into the thing. So we're trying to combine Renaissance music with the attitude of a rock group, but without going into crossover.
Well, no, I can vouch for the fact that your performances are absolutely echt. And so, I must say, is your look. And it doesn't do any of you any harm that you look fabulous in costume. This is really reviving something, and perhaps we could compare you to Rick Wakeman at this moment, if we're going down that 70s route. Yeah. Now, why did you decide to work in doublet and hose in your case?
I mean, I think it doesn't matter what you wear, it's going to be a costume. So if you see a modern concert performance in modern concert costume, it's a costume, you know. And if you go to see the symphony orchestra, they're playing in a costume as well. Nobody walks around in the street like that. And I worked as a rock musician, and so for me, just normal. If I go on stage, I put clothes on, you know.
We are glad to hear that, even though this is radio.
Okay.
Very, very quickly, one last question. I mean, that was pretty jolly stuff, but you're very in tune with more reflective music, and you're working on a Dowland project. You've got a Dowland CD, haven't you?
That's our next CD recording is going to be a Dowland CD, and we try and this has just been like the one side of us, this sort of up-tempo stuff, but we also have more reflective music, and I think that's also this Rabelais thing. I think at the start of Pantagruel, the book, he says that if you think that this book's a joke, then you're wrong, and if you think it's serious, then it's wrong. And so I think that's what Pantagruel's about as well. If you think, you know, we don't want to be pushed into one, we're not sort of like a circus act or something, and we're also not like preaching to anybody about something. It should be a fun thing, but at the same time illuminating in some way.
Well, it makes me very, very sad that I wasn't able to attend your headlining concert here in Greenwich at the festival last night, but this was a little taster of Pantagruel, and I'm sure we shall be hearing much more of you on Radio 3. Thank you very much, Mark Wheeler and Pantagruel. Now, away from performance, early music made the news yesterday, even the BBC news. People love, if they don't know much about music, to try and find sensation. This isn't a sensation, it's just a very good and splendid story. And with me to tell us about it is instrument maker Shem Mackie. Tell us about your latest viol. The varnish is only just dry, but there is a story about the wood, which we need to hear.
Yes, the instrument's just 2 weeks old. But it's based on an instrument built in 1683 by Michel Collichon, the Parisian luthier. And the original instrument is in the Musée de la Musique in Paris. I had been interested in making one of these for many years. And about 2 years ago, I went to study the instrument. Slight backstory here. This instrument, for many, many years, has been known as the mahogany viol, because it was analyzed and identified by the Natural History Museum in Paris some years back, and they identify the wood as being broadleaf mahogany.
So it's like the Madonna of the Pinks or the Madonna of the Yarn Winder.
Yes.
I mean, there isn't a Yarn Winder that I can see in that Da Vinci picture, but it gets a name. So this is the mahogany vial.
The mahogany vial.
Except it isn't.
It's not mahogany, no.
What is it?
When I saw it, I was immediately struck by the something wasn't quite right. So I took some micro photographs and then came back and did my own analysis and found that it was in fact made from Cedrila odorata.
Which is, for us lay people?
The more common name is Spanish cedar, which originates from Cuba, from the West Indies, where France had its colonies during the 1600s.
Where they make cigars.
Exactly, yes. And in fact, this wood is traditionally the wood that was used for making cigar humidors.
So when you were working on it, were you getting that wonderful smell of a humidor?
It smells just incredibly beautiful. The workshop just filled with this aroma of cedar.
So now it's going to be known as I think cederwood vial is probably easier to say.
I think so, yes. It's off the tongue a little easier than Cedrila odorata vial.
And very happily, we have here to play some French music on this originally French, but now very much more Irish.
Yes.
File.
Yes.
We have sitting behind us Ibrahim Aziz to play music by Ibi. What was it? Saint-Colombe. Ah, Saint-Colombe Junior. Thank you very much, Shem Mackie. Let's hear this marvelous cedarwood viol. Ibrahim Aziz giving ample proof in that music by Saint-Colombe Fils that you don't need a very old patinated viol to play wonderful music wonderfully well. It's a really great advertisement for the talents of all the makers of that instrument, Shem Mackie, and my thanks to him for talking to me just then. But there are so many great instrument makers here. It would be a pity, really, whether or not you want to take up the cittern or the bass viol, if you don't get yourselves down here, listeners. But please don't leave before we go off air. This is The Early Music Show, live with me, Catherine Bott, with you live until 2 p.m. from the 10th anniversary Greenwich International Early Music Festival and Exhibition. The whole thing runs until 5:30 p.m. tomorrow. Well, I came to have a look yesterday, because one day isn't enough, and here's a taste of what I found. The Painted Hall in the Royal Naval College, Greenwich. On the walls and ceiling, an international gathering of mythological figures, all painted by James Thornhill. This is where Lord Nelson lay in state 200-odd years ago. But in the hall, as you can hear, is an international gathering of instrument makers and their customers. There are recorders in the background. Just here we have a viol being played, and it's the most marvellous hubbub of all kinds of instruments made in beautiful woods, beautifully wrought by makers from all over the world. This international exhibition has been running here at Greenwich for 10 years. This is a very much an anniversarial exhibition. Well, here's a beautiful flute and some Bach being played on it, ideal for a foggy day in London town. I'm at the stand of Martin Venner, who makes flutes, and here is one of his customers.
We all wonder what to play Bach on, and I've never seen an instrument like this before, and it has a certain magic to play Bach, and you can talk to the makers here, and they teach you the kind of sounds you can find from a flute.
Are you a professional flautist?
I sometimes play professionally, but it's not my main career. But I did study the instrument very seriously, and I play in Bach Passions and I give recitals, but I'm a university teacher most of the time. I teach history and law.
Have you come a long way?
Yes, I've come from Oxford today.
Well, there are musicians of sundry kinds, you might say, from amateurs to top professionals, and here's viol player Emilia Benjamin. Emilia, you're trying out very new instrument, is it new?
Yes, Jane Julia has just finished making it. She was struggling with whooping cough to get it ready-made in time for the exhibition so that all the players who are here could have a go on it.
So what brings you to the exhibition here today?
I'm actually looking to find a new bow, a French bow, because I've only got one bow so far and I feel that I need one that articulates better.
So you want to buy an instrument here at Greenwich and you can't decide between one or the other. Well, to help you, there's a series of short concerts with young professionals playing the instruments that are on display here. Can you just tell me, what brings you to the exhibition here today?
The excitement of looking at various instruments that if I had all the money in the world, I'd buy the whole lot.
And which instruments do you play?
I'm trying to play the theorbo. I've just recently retired and the theorbo is my retirement project. If I can play fourth theorbo in a professional performance of Monteverdi Vespers, I'll die happy.
Here, in between some learned manuscripts and Jeremy West's selection of serpents, we've got a real oddity. And the really revealing thing about it is that it's got a cable coming out of the back. It's an electric
viol. It's solid-body electric. American players call this an extended upright bass.
Do you still play with an underarm grip on the bow?
So because that's how I learned it.
So you're playing
I'm playing with the
electric instrument
style.
In the classical style. Can we hear it?
Of course.
And over the other side of the room, Bill Lyons. Bill, I'm really sorry to interrupt you, but I can't resist repeating what the chap who's just gone away said to you as I arrived. He said, by the way, if you hear of anybody selling an alto recorder in G, let me know. You might be like George Cole in the St. Trinian films. Have you got recorders hidden under your coat?
Yeah. Well, yes, I do. I walk around sort of flashing my rather large Mac at people, offering various sizes of recorder and at a very reasonable price. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
And seriously, what does bring you here today?
Well, I'm here today. I'm always interested to see what makers, A, come back every year, but also there's actually a real boom in new makers of earlier instruments. I'm very interested in the Viel makers that are here this year, and there's quite a move towards making earlier recorders, and because I'm particularly interested in the music from that earlier period, it's great to see makers sort of coming back now. There was a period when it was all Baroque instruments, and now people are rediscovering the art of and beauty of those older instruments.
So are we going to have the reconvening of collective nouns of Krumhorns and Schaums and Hirten Schalmei?
Well, I very much hope so. I'm looking forward to it, although I will be avoiding the Krumhorn stall myself.
Bill Lyons of the Dufay Collective, and emphatically not a dodgy dealer in recorders. Next, live music here from Greenwich, a chance to hear the local students strutting their stuff in a keyboard concerto by Johann Christian Bach. Thank you. Well, appropriately, most of the players were standing up for that. The last movement of the concerto by J.C. Bach, the London Bach, very suitable for the soon-to-be Royal Borough of Greenwich. Now, with me, the director of that performance from the harpsichord, Stephen Devine, directing the Trinity Laban Classical Orchestra. Stephen, you're very involved with the early music department here at Trinity Laban on the staff. What are your aims for the department?
Well, it's not just about early music, it's about just style in general. I think there's just sort of a way of creating style for everybody. And this orchestra is actually a modern instrument orchestra. And for the concert we did yesterday, we had modern winds, of course, and our wonderful modern string players. But it's all about learning the style and the spirit of it. So actually, it was so good that two of our horn players and our two trumpets also decided they wanted to have a go at natural instruments well during the show, which is great.
Applause from the audience. So the omens are very good, and you're determined on a policy of integration.
Absolutely.
No one kind of music exists in vacuum.
Absolutely not. I mean, it's more about the style than the instruments, and I think that's what Trinity Laban's doing really well, is creating this sense of musical sort of inclusiveness.
Thank you very much, Stephen Devine. Well, yesterday I spoke to Trinity Laban's director of music, Claire Mira Nelson, and I began by asking her, what does the partnership with the Early Music Festival here mean for Trinity Laban?
One of the amazing things about this festival is having the combination of amateurs, of young players, students and professionals all coming together with makers and people selling instruments. Most people who are interested in early music, it seems to me, are really interested in learning. They like to consume things, they like to buy instruments, they like to buy music, they like to buy recordings, but they really want to learn about how to perform it, whether they're actually performers themselves or not. So for us, it's a great moment to bring together people who are interested in listening to the music with people who want to teach that music. We've run a number of different masterclasses, masterclass today with Piers Adams and Julia Bishop, and one tomorrow with Jonathan Peter Kenny, which allow the audience to really see how people learn about early music and to benefit themselves. The amateur enthusiasts for early music are incredibly important, and they are a really truly extraordinary bunch of people who I've worked with many years in my life as a Baroque violinist prior to coming into this post. We find that in a place like this, people come together to share their passion and to talk about it, and they bring their perspectives from all sorts of different parts of life. Mostly, and this is one of the things I find most interesting, they want to participate, they want to join in, they want to understand why the music is important and how to make it sound really good.
So they can come here and do absolutely everything, from trying out an instrument that perhaps they can't afford but can save up for, to buying music that they would like to learn, CDs to learn about the music, and of course there are concerts as well. Trinity Laban is fielding a classical orchestra.
Yes, we've got a classical orchestra playing, one of our young ensembles, Ensemble Chaminata, playing, and we have a number of our students performing in Sunday's masterclass and early music vocal ensemble concerts. But the other side of things here is that it's incredibly important to us to help the students understand about the process of engaging audiences. And when we have an opportunity, a platform like this, to expose our students to an audience that really cares passionately about the music and really wants to hear them and hear their ideas, that's the best environment for learning.
Claire Mira Nelson, Director of Music here at Trinity Laban. Well, one very popular element of the festival and exhibition, dating back to times before it was held here in Greenwich, is the annual Merck Recorder Competition. Past winners include Rebecca Miles, Robert Ehrlich and Ashley Solomon. And back in 1985, the joint winners were Helen Reese and Piers Adams. Van Eyck's English Nightingale incarnated there by Piers Adams on the recorder. Piers has gone on to a very exciting career, of course, particularly with his own group, Red Priest, described memorably as the only group to have been compared with all the following: Rolling Stones, Jackson Pollock, the Marx Brothers, Spike Jones, and Cirque du Soleil. We are doing some good alternative analogies today in the early music show. Piers, how does that tie in with your building new audiences for early music?
Well, first of all, I'd say that none of that did I say myself. Well, I do write most of my publicity material, but that all did come from a variety of people. And I don't quite know where people get that idea from, because we just basically go and do our own thing. And our idea is that if we were musicians in the day, we would be taking the knowledge that we have and we would be trying to create with it and perform and not have any feeling of restriction in terms of, well, you can't do this or you can't do that because someone says so. So with that, it's just become our own blend, and I think people like the very personal nature of it.
Now, you're the third group to perform today without using music. This is obviously a new trend, which should be encouraged, of course, for all students of Trinity Laban, please note. And I'm just wondering, you've got a new keyboard player, the extremely gifted and able David Wright.
We have indeed.
How did you train him up?
The used car salesman of keyboard players. Yeah, well, it's been an ongoing process, but yeah, it was quite a steep learning curve. He's been with the group for a year now, and we basically just plonked all the music in front of him and said, take that, which he has done so, and run with it.
Well, we're going to have Red Priest play us out now, running with it. Oh, yes, they certainly are, while I go over here. Thank you to all my guests today in this live early music show from the 10th International Exhibition and Early Music Festival here in Greenwich at the Royal Naval College. Red Priest now to end our show with a little bit of Bach. Well, it's Bach, Jim, but not as we know it. Thank you.
A unique arrangement of Bach's Toccata and Fugue in D minor by Piers Adams and the rest of Red Priest playing live at the Early Music Festival and exhibition at Greenwich. Today's Early Music Show was presented from the stage by Catherine Bott and it was produced by Chris Wines. Well, tomorrow's Early Music Show explores the historical and liturgical context of the Lamentations of Jeremiah. You can hear that programme at the same time just after the 1 o'clock news tomorrow lunchtime here on BBC Radio 3. Also tomorrow, Alad Jones will be here.
This week in the choir on Radio 3, choral music for Remembrance Sunday. Across our programme, I'll be including familiar and rather less familiar pieces written to remember those we have lost, including a rare broadcast of the first musical setting of that famous poem, For the Fallen, words that are now indelibly associated with remembrance ceremonies right across the globe. The Choir for Remembrance Sunday at our new time of 5 o'clock Sunday afternoons on BBC Radio 3.
Well, a very good afternoon to you from me, Ian Skelly, here to guide you through the rest of the afternoon on Radio 3. At 5 o'clock this afternoon, our attention turns to jazz, with jazz record requests presented by Geoffrey Smith, as always. And in an hour from now, the actor Simon Russell Beale will be here. He's also your guide through the history of the symphony at the moment over on BBC 4 television. And this afternoon, he'll be introducing music from those cities that feature in the series. In today's programme, he concentrates on Paris, a place that inspires everyone in some way. Certainly it did Mozart. You can also hear music by Debussy, Poulenc and Ravel. Saturday Classics begins this afternoon at 3 o'clock here on BBC Radio 3. But now another chance to hear last Monday's lunchtime concert, which we broadcast live from Wigmore Hall in London. Susie Klein was the presenter.
Hello. Today, the Vienna Piano Trio makes a welcome return to Wigmore Hall with a programme of music by Schubert, Shostakovich, and to open, we've Haydn, a trio written during one of his visits to London in the 1790s when the composer was showered with gifts, wined and dined by all of society. While there, he met a famous engraver of the day, Gaetano Bartolozzi, and his wife-to-be, Teresa Jansson. She was, by all accounts, a sensational pianist. Several famous composers of the day wrote music for her, including Dussek and Clementi. And Teresa must have made quite an impression on Haydn too. He dedicated no less than 3 piano trios to her. The E-flat trio we're about to hear is one of the most difficult, the most technically challenging that Haydn ever wrote. And it's a testament to Teresa Jansson's skill, this piece. So, here to open this live recital at Wigmore Hall, it's the Vienna Piano Trio with Haydn's Trio in E-flat major.